Enter webcasting from somewhere in Chicago. It's the Give Me Cake or Give Me Death show with your host, George B.
All right, hello and welcome to the first episode of the Give Me Cake or Give Me Death show. I'm George B. I am very glad that I am finally set up here. I've been wanting to do this for years, to have a wonderful talk show. I used to be a college radio DJ several years ago, and that was really fun. I'm not going to play as much music, but I'm going to talk quite a bit, play some bits, play some commercials. Are they fake commercials? I don't know. Who knows? It's a mystery. Just like George B. Who is this guy? Why do we want to listen to his podcast? Or internet cast, or whatever cast you want to call it. Well, I have found that out. I have done my own research on myself, and, no, joking. I've dug up a lot of information on this George B. guy. Turns out he was kind of weird, into like all kinds of interesting subjects that runs the gamut from philosophy to metaphysics to religion to politics, history, art, music, science. And hey, look, those are all the things we're going to talk about in one form or another on the show. I have no phone line set up yet, no guests set up just yet, but I do have a few people that are looking to come into the studio and do a show with me in the future, so you will be hearing the points of views of many different people over the course of this journey. As I am the bus driver, and we're all kind of just hanging back. I'm like a tour guide in this weird, visceral landscape. And it's all theater of the mind as I'm just pumping words into your ear holes. Just like an IV, basically. Mm-mm-mm. I hate IVs. Terrible, sitting in a hospital and having things just, you know, just sticking out of you. Ugh. I don't even want to think about that. I'm sidetracking. Help! I'm drowning. Anyway, a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in the south side of Chicago. I grew up in a mixed neighborhood that has, over time, kind of gotten worse. It's been a little scary in the last few years that I was there. I moved to the suburbs with my family when I was in high school, and I've kind of been out there ever since. I spent a couple years living in Chicago within the city limits again afterwards, and I didn't really enjoy that experience. I'm a little sick and tired of houses and buildings only being like an arm's length in between each other, and just the noise, the amount of people, the lack of trees and greenery. I like some open spaces. I don't like, you know, living out in the middle of the sticks where you pretty much got to drive a mile before you see a building, but I do like to have some breathing room. I went to Catholic school in Chicago for high school, for grammar school, and that was a very interesting experience. Actually, there was a lot of there were a lot of open-minded people actually growing up and going there, and I actually did learn about other religions in Catholic high school, so that was pretty fascinating. I think even though, you know, you think, okay, this was a Catholic high school. It's all male. It's like, yeah, that really sucked, by the way. It's like, oh, this is going to be the most closed-minded atmosphere ever. And actually, it was for some people, but for other instructors, they were really, really cool about things. They really wanted to open the world up to us. And they still said stuff like, oh, well, you know, Catholicism. See, they couldn't even talk right either. Catholicism is way better than Hinduism and any of that other stuff, because that stuff is just silly. But we'll teach you about it. Okay. So I was like, hey, this stuff's kind of interesting. I think I might do some research in the future. And so I have. Since then, I've read all kinds of books from, Taoism, Buddhism, Hinduism, I guess Neo-Paganism, all that type of stuff. And I don't believe in all of it, but it is fascinating nevertheless. It opens your mind. And a mind is a terrible thing to waste on doing nothing. It's a muscle. You have to flex it. You have to exercise it. You have to keep it sharp like a tool. It's not who you are. Your mind isn't who you are, but it is nonetheless a tool. So, we were also tools growing up in school, kind of being indoctrinated into this society. Which, you know, at the same token, I do wish schools basically tried to open your mind a little more, tried to more or less spend less time just dealing with subjects and more time kind of encouraging people to be themselves, to express themselves, and to basically encourage that thirst for knowledge that many people have, especially in a young mind. And I still have that kind of mind. I think I will always be a student of life. And you just gotta have that mindset, because it's the only way to keep growing. If you're closed, if you think you know everything, then you're not gonna really go anywhere. And there's a time in my life where I thought I knew everything. You know, you're like 18 or 17, you're like, what the hell do these adults know? They don't know nothing. And, well, actually, that leads into a story. I talked about the grammar school. I talked about high school. But there was a time when I had my, it's not my first job, but the first, like, actual job where I had checks and had to pay taxes and all that stuff. I worked at a conveyor company in Merrillville, Indiana. And I was driven there by my father, who also worked there. And I was out in the shop building conveyors and working with some interesting folks. People who are like my age now. They were like, you know, 30-ish back then. And they were like building conveyors. And a lot of them just couldn't get their shit together. You know, it's just a gig for them. It wasn't a big deal. They didn't have any careers or any hopes for that. They kind of lived paycheck to paycheck and just didn't get around to going to college or anything like that. It wasn't within their realm of possibility. Maybe because of, you know, upbringing. Maybe they didn't have enough money. Maybe it just wasn't important to them at the time. I don't know, for whatever socioeconomic or personal reasons, they didn't apply themselves as much as they could. And a lot of them admitted stuff like that. Said, yeah, well, I'm here because, you know, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. And I was screwing around. And I learned from these people. A lot of them were nice people. You know, no doubt they were just working hard, just trying to do their own thing. And that's cool. But I looked at that and I'm like, oh man, I better study in school a little more. I better apply myself because I don't want to end up like this. This just isn't for me. So I took to reading more books. I took to getting more proactive into my own life, trying to do the right thing. And here I am today. I'm talking into a microphone in a room by myself about how things are going in my life. So here we are. This is the first stop in our ride in the journey of the Give Me Cake or Give Me Death show into what is known as George B's ramblings, musings, and deep, deep thoughts. Well, time for a break. I'll be back with more.
Yo, yo, you're freezing your ass off in your trailer. Can't be getting no shrinkage. Word, bitch. Tired of being cool, but don't want to look like a fag in one of them blankets with sleeves and shit. Well, introducing the motherfucking thuggy. That's right, only blanket with sleeves that don't make you look like a total puss bag. Faggot. Yeah, the thuggy will turn you from wimp to pimp. Normal one was coming pink or light blue, which is hella gay. But the thug is the dopest and features your favorite clown, hip-hop group White Trash Frenemies, Big G and Thuggles the Clown. That be me. Yeah, so don't be using as no jerk rag, cause we don't appreciate your shit being in our likenesses. Yeah, we're in your crib, sported at the Association of the Frenemies. Hang it up to use as curtains in your dub wide. Use it to strangle that annoying hoe that keeps asking you for child support. I'm looking tight for all them fine bitches. Oh shit, we even have child sizes. Just up all your gummy cheese eating chillins and our little pimp sized thuggies. If you a little pimp, just ask your moms and shit.
Bitch, get me a thuggy.
That's right. And ring us up in the next 10, we'll hook you up with a second thuggy for freeze. Freeze nuts! Ha, would you be this shit? Yeah, and this shit only costs $19.95, so you won't cut into the meth budget. So whip out your prepaid and dial 1-800-THU-GGIE. Damn, I can spell shit. That's 1-800-THU-GGIE. G-G-I-E, bitch. And remember, don't be a fag. Get you some frenemy swag.
And I'm back. Well, that was some really fucked up shit, wasn't it? A little homophobic, I think, huh? Well, you know, even idiots need to express themselves, so henceforth, I put on these commercials, and hopefully they're amusing. So, yeah. Even though they're idiots. I wonder what my gay and lesbian friends will think about all those fancy words that they used to describe them in a derogatory manner. So someone wants to wear pink. Yeah, whatever. I don't want to wear pink, but does it make them bad? Well, anyway. But yeah, on this show you're going to hear all kinds of shit. All kinds of different points of view. Some I don't even agree with. Like, we got this guy, Southside Pat. He's kind of a typical Southsider, coal-minded, kind of a bigot, kind of a dumbass. And, but, you know, he's a lovable guy, and we'll have him on the show coming up in the news segment for the sports there, eh? Doing some sports. I don't know if I sounded like him or not, but we'll hear what he sounds like when the news happens. Do you like that? It sounds stupid. Sounds like someone's spray painting. Spray painting, also a form of expression by idiots. Done on some building that's not their own. Unless it's a mural, those are cool. Murals kick ass. But anyway, back to the subject of applying myself. After that stint at the conveyor company, I have done many things career-wise, and right now I design industrial machinery, and it's a career. You know, it's no broadcasting, but it's pretty good. I enjoy it most of the time. I don't think I've done any more growing personally in my life than with this company that I'm with now, because the wonderful thing is, you get so many new opportunities that I have not done before. Now I'm just kind of been thrown into many different, I don't know what to call it, really. Many different, let's just say, tasks that I'm not accustomed to. And I seem to pull it off. I seem to do it. I seem to be very good at improvising. So I think this show is, you know, kind of going to help me with improvisation as well. Because here I am talking into a microphone and doing it off the top of my head. And sometimes it's really going to suck. And I'm going to try to edit many of those parts. But nonetheless, I'm very confident that I will keep succeeding in what I'm doing. I'm very, very hopeful for the future. And I have many other creative endeavors that I'm working on outside of my normal work schedule that basically keep my ideas flowing, keep me alive, keep the passion within me. And that's important. Whether you're doing something that you really don't like as a job or a career right now, whatever that is, passion is what makes it more pleasurable. You try to do the best job you can. I mean, I used to work at Dominick's, bagging groceries, pushing carts back into the building. And that is, you know, kind of a rough job at times and kind of boring and kind of tedious. But I had passion. I tried to do the best that I could. And as a reward, I moved up in that company. I became a clerk before most people end up being a clerk. So I just applied myself. And if you do that, if you're passionate, if you just try to bring your best, you try to give it your all, and it could be tiring, and it could be frustrating. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You're going to, like, just hate your life some days. But usually things seem to go a lot more smoothly, I find. If you just do it, you just put yourself into your work, things turn out a lot better. So there's my positive message before we get into stupid news.
And now, stupid news.
That's right, now it's time for stupid news, the news segment with the very stupid name that's not very creative. Good job, George. You're doing a great job with your creativity.
Oh, my name is George B, and I'm like all creative and stuff, but I can't think of a good name for my new segment, so I'm just gonna call it stupid news.
Anyway, I have a couple people here that I'd like to interview. I think this process is going to be wonderful for the show, also to document how we've kind of come across our talent for the news segment. We have actually one guy, we call him Southside Pat, or I guess he calls himself Southside Pat, and he will do the sports section, so yeah. So we got one person lined up, we got two that we're looking into. I don't know, maybe we'll get two people actually do the news, plus the sports guy, or we might just get one person. Let's see how it goes. So far, only two has responded to the ad that I put out on the interwebs, and we'll see. We'll give them a shot. Let me ask, get my producer over here. Hey, any one of them ready? Okay, bring in the first one. All right, good. Okay, bring him in. All right, I'm going to get set up. Go. Oh, look, here he is. This is an older gentleman here. Let's turn his mic on. Let's start that over again. Let's see what this person is about and why they want to be on my program.
Give me cake or give me death.
With George B. Hi, welcome. How are you doing today, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Oh, wonderful. What's your name, sir?
My name is Walter Sally.
Oh, okay. Hi, Walter. Kind of an older gentleman, I see. How old are you? How long have you been doing news and so forth for radio programs or internet programs? Or have you done news for TV or anything like that?
Well, I used to be on a couple radio stations, and I was fired.
Oh, okay. Well, we believe in second chances here at the Sarcast. After all, this is just a show. We're not taking ourselves way too seriously here, so we'll see. You might have something wonderful to offer for us. So, what kind of... you just said you were on radio. Were you doing, like, news programs or anything like that?
Well, I would do the, food and entertainment stories.
Okay. Your delivery is interesting. But we can work on that. We can try to, kind of buff it all up and... What the hell does that mean? You're probably just a gem. You probably just need some polishing. That's what I mean. We'll see. I mean, you know, we can give you a shot. That's, you know, we're all trying to find our way here. I haven't been doing anything like this in a number of years, so we'll give you a shot. How about that? How about we, well, I don't know. Tell us a little more about yourself, Wally, is it?
Don't call me Wally. Call me Walter.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Well, I was married 4 times, and I have 2 children that I'm not allowed to see. I can't see them. I love to play Parcheesi by myself in the park.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Anyway, let's get into maybe a news story. Let's have you try to just... let's see how you are at this, okay? Kind of do this on the fly. Are you ready? Ready for news story? Okay, I'll take that as a yes. All right. Interesting. Okay. Go for it. Here's Walter Sally. This is stupid news.
Thank you, George B. 69-year-old woman dies after explosion. Fire at Southeast Houston home. A 69-year-old woman died early Thursday when her Southeast Houston home burst into flames, according to the Houston Fire Department.
Wait, let me cut you off there for a minute. Is there a reason why you're stuttering so much? Are you nervous? Is everything okay? I do want you to be comfortable here. I want you to understand, again, this is, you know, a learning experience for us all. And just try to do the best job you can. I mean, it's just... I don't know. Do you need something? Do you need gum or something? Maybe to help you focus?
Nah.
What the fuck was that? Okay, well, okay, continue with the story, at least.
5 firefighters arrive to find the one-story home on Sage Tree at Kirkholm fully engulfed in flames. Flames. Around 1:10 a.m., they immediately went into the defensive mode to attack the fire from the outside. After they made their way in, they found the woman dead inside the home.
Okay. You have to read a little more faster. I don't think we have that kind of time. You're just gonna have to... You're not lacking enthusiasm, that's for sure, but you just need to be a little more articulate, kind of, read it faster, but also at the same time, make sure every word is heard. And, well, let me read the rest of the story for now. The woman's neighbor said she heard a loud boom, then looked outside. Within a few minutes, the entire house was in flames. The neighbor said the victim had oxygen tanks. Tanks. They just say oxygen tanks. Oh, shit. Tanks. Shut up. Firefighter said the tanks may have been the reason for the explosion. The woman was also a smoker, according to the neighbor. So, look at that. I think we've got a Darwin Award winner here. Smoker, you know, 69 years old, oxygen tanked. I mean, why did it sound like that again? Oxygen tank. Oh, man. That's what it sounded like in my headphones. I don't know if I said tank or not, but it sounded like, you know, something else. Anyway, oh God, I'm embarrassed. You see, I'm not perfect, okay? So anyone who's trying to do this job must realize that they don't have to be perfect, so they shouldn't be nervous about it. It's all in good fun. Anyway, yeah, smoker, or just can't stop smoking, has oxygen tanks, is, you know, obviously having respiratory problems from the smoking and just continues to do it, which is, it's sad. It's probably like the hardest thing to quit for most people. I've never been there. I've never been a smoker, so I don't know what that's like, but it just goes to show how loyal these people are. Not loyal. Oh, I need to smoke. I'm loyal to smoke. Addicted. Okay, addicted to smoking. And just couldn't give it up, and was also a genius because they realized that smoking near oxygen tanks was a good idea. So that's weird. What do you think about that, Walter?
I think tanks.
All right. Okay, all right, okay, good first day. Well, maybe we'll have you on again, we'll give you a call, we try this out again, and we'll see how that works, okay? I'd like to thank you very much, Walter Sally, everyone, for joining us today, for trying to win the spot of the news anchor on our stupid news segment. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
What the fuck? That guy was a fucking creep, man. I don't want him in this room. If we do call him back, I do not want him in this room because he's breathing heavy, and I don't know what he's doing underneath the table there with his hands. I don't even want to know. Ew, this is my studio, damn it. I tell you, man, you get the worst fucking weirdos in this business sometimes. I just don't. All right, bring the other one in. Bring him in. Well, have a seat. Hey, okay. All right. You're all set? Excellent. Anyway, so tell me about yourself, good sir.
My name is Blake Borchard.
Okay, Blake. Have you done anything like this before?
Well, I was in a high school show. I had my own program. It was called the Emo Hour, and everyone was making fun of my show.
Oh, God. Why do I get these people on my show? Okay, is everything okay? Are you all right? How old are you, Blake?
I'm 19.
19. You don't say. Well, what's going on, Blake? You seem to be really, distressed about something. I'm just going to just throw that right out there.
My girlfriend, Brenda, left me.
I'm sorry to hear that, Blake. We're trying to do a new segment. I mean, you gotta keep yourself together, man. I mean, come on, you can do this. It's all right, you know. There's other, you know, young ladies out there. I'm sure would be interested in a nice gentleman such as yourself. You just need to, you know, it'll be cool. Okay. All right. Well, let me ask this at least. Well, how long were you dating this Linda? Was it?
It's Brenda. It's Brenda.
Brenda, Linda, okay, all right, just explain what's going on.
Well, I don't mind. You want to read my poem? I wrote a poem.
I don't want to read your poem. Just answer the question. Let's get through this part so that we can continue on with the interview, with the news, and go from there. Come on. You can do it, man. You can do it.
All right, we were dating for about a week.
And you were dating her for a week, and you're this upset, and she's automatically your girlfriend and such. It's a week, Mac. Dude, it's a week.
That was the best week of my life. I thought she understood me. I thought she knew everything about it. I wrote a poem. You want to read my poem?
Oh, my God. I don't want to read your poem just now, all right? But you have to understand that it was just a week. I mean, come on, man. It's a week. Obviously, this person doesn't mean that much to you. I mean, it's a week. God, come on. It sounds like it's 2 years and everything was great and you got engaged and things were, like, a little more permanent. What's going on here? What the hell is wrong with you? You're a man. Man up. Okay? A week. How long has it been since then?
It's been 2 months. 2 months, and she never returned my calls. She never returned my calls.
Oh, God. Oh, my God, what is wrong with you? Dude, Okay. Here's what you... All right. I guess we're going to give you a call, okay? We'll call you back. We'll see how you're doing and another week from now. And we'll give you another shot, okay? You okay with that?
I wish Brenda would give me another shot. Oh, I hit the microphone with my head. I'm sorry.
All right, it's okay. All right, just don't worry about it. Go home, write some poetry, take care of yourself, do something. Just don't cut yourself. Don't jump off a bridge or anything like that. It's gonna be all right, okay? Listen to something happy instead of emo music or whatever you listen to. And
yeah. You don't get it. It's a lifestyle.
All right, I don't get it, but just take care of yourself, man. You have to take care of yourself. You can't just be miserable all the time, man. That just sucks. There's nothing cool about that. Nothing cool at all about that. All right, we'll call you, okay? We'll call you. But thanks for being on our show. Okay, he left the room. Big sigh of relief. Oh, God. All right, so that has been an interesting first round of interviews. I apologize. I didn't know that these two characters would be so inadequate. But maybe I'll give them a shot, okay? You know, sometimes people are nervous, things just don't go well, and you just have to give them another shot because... You know, not everyone's 100% all the time. That's a lot of pressure. So, I'd like to welcome another person that I've mentioned before. Mr. Southside Pat for the sports. How you doing there? Okay. What's going on now? What do you mean your cans aren't working? Fuck, I gotta fix this shit now. In the middle of the show, I can't pause it. Alright, are you fine? Alright, cool. Hey there, how's it going? This is Southside Pat. Hey, how's it going, George? You enjoying yourself? No, I'm not enjoying myself, actually. I thought this would be a lot of fun, but... As you just heard, those two weirdos that showed up, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to have anybody available for the news other than you. Well, I can do the news. I can do all kinds of stories, you know, about oxygen taints and whatnot. Hey, I'm just not the sports guy, okay? I can do plenty of this stuff. Shit. How hard can it be? Well, you'll be surprised how hard it can be. Let's get into the sports, shall we? What have you got for us, Mr. Southside Pat? The stories lately is how the Bulls are doing. The Bulls aren't doing that well. Not well at all, George. The Bulls are losing to Philadelphia. We don't know if they're going to, we don't think the Bulls are going to make it past the first round. I'm kind of worried there. Derrick Rose, you know, he's out. He's got some very bad injuries to the knees there. And we got the Joakim Noah. He's got his ankle problems. And who knows? I just hope that if the Bulls lose... that Miami doesn't, win that, the whole championship there, George. That would be some bullshit. No pun intended. Well, that would be some bullshit, because I can't stand those people. You know, like, hey, I'm LeBron James, I'm such a badass, blah, blah, I'm awesome, I'm better than Jordan, I'm LeBron James. I hate that guy so much, he's such a douche.
Don't you agree there, Southside Tom? It's Southside Pat, okay? Don't fucking call me Southside Tom, all right? Asshole. All right, calm down, okay? I've had a bad news segment. I am just... I'm beside myself, okay? Because I wanted this... I knew it wasn't going to be perfect, but I wanted this to at least be somewhat professional, and it's just gone to shit, okay? It's gone to shit. Yeah, it has gone to shit, because you can't get anybody good for your show. You're such a loser. Fuck you, and just finish the sports, okay? God damn it. Hey, tough guy, calm the fuck down, all right? This is a show. You said we're having fun. I'm having some fun. I'm having a blast. Except for them Bulls. They're not having a blast, and I'm going to be very sad. It's going to take many packs, of course, to get over this. First the Hawks, and then the Bulls, and who knows what's going to happen. As I get very excited about all of this bullshit... And Chicago sports, you know, at least the Bears are looking good. They better not have any injuries. It better be a good season come this fall. So, and we got the White Sox, and that's all I'm worried about right now. Well, what about the Cubs? I mean, does anyone care about the Cubs? I'm not like the biggest Cubs fan. I'm not. I just think, hey, Chicago team. You know, I think why not? You know, I like to see every Chicago team do well. Doesn't matter to me. Hey, fuck the Cubs, okay? I'm Southside Pat, and I don't give a fuck about the Cubs. The Cubs can kiss my balls. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, they can kiss my balls because they're a bunch of homos. Okay. You're saying that everyone on the Cubs is a homo? I mean, that's not fair. They might suck as a team, but I don't think they suck in that regard. Yeah, well, they do. They suck every way. Suck every which way, and that's what makes them homosexuals. You know, a bunch of queers. Okay, why are you doing this to me? Everything was going to shit, and then you have to make disparaging comments that might not even be true about players. Come on, these are professionals. These are, you know, they're trying just like the White Sox are to do what they need to do. It's not like, you know, here's the thing. I understand if, like, those two are playing in a World Series and, like, you know, yeah, you're going to hate them if they're doing well and stuff like that. But just to hate him for no reason and call him all this shit, it's just, it's dumb. Why waste hatred on something that doesn't matter? Hey, fuck you. This does matter to me, okay? This matters a lot. If the Cubs ever do better than the White Sox, then I probably might have to hang myself because that's bullshit. No way should the Cubs ever do better than the White Sox. And if this season ever works out that way, it's going to take a lot of packs, of course, to get me to forget all about it and to self-medicate. If you know what I mean. Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, that's the end of stupid news. Because it was really fucking stupid today. So, Southside Pat, thanks for being here, you fucking idiot. Hey, no problem, man. Go fuck yourself, George. All right, we'll be back.
I thought you were
All right, that was Contents Under Pressure, a local band. Good tunes, good dudes. I've played them actually on my college radio show and even had them on for an episode. That was the most fun I've ever had in broadcasting. They were great. It was so much fun. So, I don't know, I can't wait for them to actually make more music. And then when Christmas comes around, I'll be playing their Christmas songs, because they have a lot of those, and they're fucking awesome. They're funny as shit. But anyway, man, that just took me back for a minute there. I felt like I was actually on the air again. Oh man, I miss those days. Those days were fun. But right now is not bad either. Actually, I'm a fairly happy camper. I've lost 40 pounds since January, and we're talking, this is like the beginning of May. So I am just ecstatic. I'm healthy. I have more energy. I'm just, this is the year. This is the year, you know, starting this show, starting a lot of other projects, and I feel great. I'm a happy camper right now. And look, I have a confession to make. I was not always a happy person. I have spent many years, you know, during those teenage years and early 20s, just kind of a little emo. Not as bad as, what's that guy's name, Blake, during a news segment. Not nearly as bad as that. I mean, no way. Oh, jeez. I'd say that guy's a stereotypical exaggeration. Which is sad, because I don't want anyone to be that kind of person. I want them to be a little more three-dimensional. But, yeah, I kind of, you know, I was creative, but the creative works that I've been putting out weren't very diverse. They were all about the same thing. Like, no one understands me and Doom and stuff like that. It was like that. It was pretty pathetic. But, you know, we grow up. We kind of get out of that phase, and it's good to get out of that phase. If you don't, if you're like, you know, me, if you're like 30 and you're like still been doing that for years, you really need to talk to somebody, preferably a professional, and sort some things out. But, well, yeah, I mean, those are those years. It kind of happens when you are kind of an artistic guy, you're kind of a sensitive guy, you're kind of, you know, a nerd in a way as well, and so you just, you don't really think you have a leg to stand on in society. But when the truth is, you just need to wave that freak flag and be proud of it. Just wave that freak flag, just kind of point to it and go, hey man, this is who I am, it's cool. Okay, I'm not like a Michael Jackson freak, but I'm my own kind of freak. I'm me, I'm unique, I'm cool, and what I'm doing is good for me, and what I do makes me happy. I like reading. I like watching weird documentaries. I like, you know, shit, recording this show. I like listening to all sorts of music, so I've got all these ideas, and I have to be proud of that. I can't sit there and go, oh, well, you know, the average male is about drinking beer and driving in pickup trucks and being all, like, super manly. I'm like, well, what is manly, okay? I think manly is basically being confident in who you are, accepting who you are, accepting responsibilities for your own actions. And that's it. I really think that's it. You don't have to, like, sleep with a million women, or you don't have to, you know, be this guy who, I gotta have a son. I gotta raise that son. He's gonna be, like, the badass. And we're all badasses. I'm like, well, you know, maybe to you and your drunken idiot friends, but really, it doesn't matter, because you have to have diversity. Everybody has their own different way of, you know, going about their life, about expressing themselves. Hey, I know gay men that are more manly than that guy who drives the pickup truck and has the no fear stickers on the back and all that stuff. You know, it's really, hell, I think maybe a drag queen is even more manly than most people because they're true to themselves. That's the important thing. You have to be true to yourself. And I can't really stress that enough. I can't. And I used to feel kind of, back in that time period of my life, I was ashamed that, you know, I really couldn't express myself without thinking that I was under some kind of ridiculous amount of scrutiny and criticism from basically other people that carry the flag of society. Other people that, you know, get in their groups and have this identity. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have a group identity. They don't really belong to a group, per se. They're just themselves. And that's kind of me. And actually, I find it, as long as I accept myself, as long as I'm confident, I can basically talk to any kind of person and have a good conversation with them and find some way to identify with them. Because deep down, we're all human. And as long as we keep taking those what's different about ourselves and creating these large distances from each other. Because, I listen to rap music. I can't talk to people who don't listen to rap music. Or something like that. We're going to continue to have the problems that we have. And we're going to continue to have people that pretty much live a shithead culture. They act out. They can't express themselves in a real sense, so they go out and buy, you know, loud exhaust pipes for their car, you know. They crank up the, bass on their radio systems, you know. They don't feel like they can really express themselves, so they come out in this aggressive stance, like, kind of fuck everybody and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's some kind of act of rebellion when all you're doing is just buying some shit that some dude's selling that everybody else is buying. So I find that pretty funny, actually. And where was I going with that? I was going somewhere with that. Oh, yes. So they react aggressively to that, whereas in the past I would react to that kind of anxiety in a passive-aggressive manner, and more of it, bring it more within me, which is, you know, both ways are not good. They're both extremes. They're both symptoms of being anxious about who you are and about where your position in life is. And I am so glad it's been years since I've felt that way. And the older I get, the less I feel that way at all, and it is wonderful. So, well, it is time for this first episode to come to a close, sadly, and I thank all of you for listening. I'm very grateful, and there'll be plenty of more wonderful, interesting stuff coming up on the Give Me Cake or Give Me Death show. Actually, there's an interesting story surrounding the name of this show. It was originally called The Sarcast, and someone on the interwebs was kind enough to tell me that, hey, look, there is a podcast already named that on iTunes. I'm like, oh, shit. I check, sure enough, they beat me to it by a couple months. I did come up with The Sarcast as a name, like, you know, 6 years ago or so. And, you know, names are names. My name's George. There's a lot of people named George. And so I go, hey, let's see, what can I come up with? How about Give Me Cake or Give Me Death? Kind of a reference to Eddie Izzard's joke, Cake or Death! So, in honor of that, I'm going to add it to the end of the show. Alright. Talk to you later. Bye.
And then we had Christianity for about 1,500 years. You know, Catholicism, we believed in the teachings of Cathol and everything. He stood... Then Henry VIII came along. Henry VIII, the big hairy king, he said to the Pope, the head of the Catholic Church, Mr. Pope, I'm going to marry my first wife, and then I'm going to divorce her. Now I know what you're going to say, but stick with me, my story gets better. I'm going to marry my second wife, and then I'm going to kill her, cut her head off. Ah, not expecting that, are you? Third wife, gonna shoot her. Fourth wife, put her in a bag. Fifth wife, into outer space. Sixth wife, on a rotisserie mat. Seventh wife, made out of jam. Eighth wife. And the Pope's going, you crazy bugger. You can't do all this. What are you, a Mormon? You can't marry all these people. That's illegal. You can't do all this. I'm the Pope. I'm head of the church. I have to keep up. Charles. What have you been reading? The Gospel according to St. Bastard? So Henry VIII, who was Sean Connery for this film. Well, then I will set up a new religion in this country. I will set up the religion, the psychotic bastard religion. And an advisor said, why not call it Church of England? So it's Church of England, that's much better. Even though I am Scottish myself. So they did. That's the birth of Church of England, the birth of the Anglican Church. Disgusting, eh? That's no basis to start a religion on. Nothing to do with the Protestant Church. I mean, Henry just shagged and killed a lot of women and then stole all the money off the monasteries. You know, rape and pillage, that is. The Protestant faith was different. That started, probably around a similar time, but that was about Martin Luther, this guy who pinned a note on a church door saying, hang on a minute. But in German, so ein Minuten bitte. Ich habe einen kleinen Problemo avec diese Religione. He was from everywhere. So, yeah. So the Protestant faith was sort of tacked on, you know, by Elizabeth I a bit later. Oh, some principles, thank God, we've got some principles. Nowadays, Church of England's much more, hello, how are you? Much more of a hobby type, hello. A lot of people in Church of England have no muscles in their arms. Hello, yes. Yes, that's what I thought. Do come in, you're the only one today. Now, the sermon today is taken from a magazine I found. That I found in a hedge. Now, lipstick colours this season are in the frosted pink area, and nail colours to match. And this reminds me rather of our Lord Jesus. Because surely, when Jesus went into Nazareth on a donkey, he must have got tarted up a bit. We will now sing hymn 405, O God, what on earth is my hairdo all about? Oh, God, what on earth is my head? There's something weird, something phenomenally dreary about Christian singing. The gospel singers are the only singers that just go crazy, go and enjoy us, and it's fucking amazing. And it's born out of kidnapping, imprisonment, slavery, murder, all of that, and this joyous singing. And the Church of England, well, all the sort of Christian religions, which is mainly Caucasian white people, with all the power and money, enough power and money to make Solomon blush. And they were singing, oh, God, oh, did ages pass hope for years. They're the only group of people that can sing hallelujah without feeling like it's a hallelujah thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, joyfully we lock about. It's just not kicking, is it? You know, God must be up there going, what on earth is that? God, who is James Mason, what on earth is that? Jesus Christ, what on earth is that? Don't take my name in vain, Dad. Jeezy Crazy, what on earth is that? Don't call me Jeezy Crazy. Look, Dad, I went down there, I told them to hang out, be groovy, drink a bit of wine. They split into different groups. You've got the Catholics, the Protestants, the Jesuits, the Methodists, the Evangelicals, the Free Presbyterians, the Locked-Up Presbyterians, the Quakers, the Bakers, the Candlestick Makers. The Mormons are from Mars, Dad, we've had it checked on. And what does the Holy Ghost think of all this? Oh, he's useless, Dad, got a sheet over his head these days. Ooh, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy honest, this is not an episode of Scooby-Doo. I would have succeeded if it wasn't for those pesky God and Jesus fellas. Because Shaggy and Scooby are interesting characters. They're two of the most major characters in American literature. Because, and I mean this sincerely, and I think it's fantastic, because they are cowards. They are cowardly characters. They believe in cowardice and sandwiches. And can you think of any in the whole realms of the English-speaking literature that are characters like that, cowardly characters that you identify with? Because you identify with, you're with them all the way. Go, Shaggy, go, Scooby. The rest of the guys who drive the van, fuck off. Scrappy-Doo, a magnum. Thank you, Grandad. Well remembered. But Shaggy and Scooby, the only other character, I mean, tell me now if you can think of any other character, because I'm willing to learn, but somebody mentioned Falstaff, a Shakespearean character. It's that level of greatness. Falstaff is a character, you sort of identify with him, but he has a melancholy with him. But Shaggy and Scooby are upbeat all the time. He says, Shaggy, Scooby, Shaggy. And you love them, you're with them. There's part of us that Shaggy and Scooby at every stage of the way. So if you travel around the world, and you're, you know, because your American foreign policy does give you a difficult time to exist around the world, two tricks. One, say you're Canadian, that helps. And it works in Europe, it's very good. And the second is just say Shaggy and Scooby. They go, Shaggy and Scooby. International credit card, I think I'll find. So, yeah. So the pagan religion, I don't know a huge amount about, but it was this earthy thing. But the Christianity had split into many different areas. Catholicism still has the fire and brimstone. Boom, 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 boom. Row, you bastards. You know, original sin. What a hellish idea that is. People having to go, Father, bless me for I have sinned. I did an original sin. I poked a badger with a spoon. I've never heard of that one before. Five Hail Marys and two Hello Dollies. All right. Thank you. Bless me, Father, for I slept with my next-door neighbor's wife. Heard it. I want an original sin. Oh, I'm terrible, sorry. The Anglican faith doesn't have that. You never go, Vicar, I have done many bad things. Well, so have I. What shall I do? Well, drink five Bloody Marys and... You won't remember. And because the Anglican faith had a lack of principles for a long time, you can't get really headstrong about it. You can't say, you know, like the Islamic jihads that we hear about. We get scared about the Islamic jihads. I think we do assume that everyone who is into the Islamic religion is having a jihad every other bloody day. There's a lot of very relaxed Islamic people, and we've got to understand, remember this, it's very important. And we do assume that jihads are just like, you know, every day three jihads are just issued by every individual. It just seems they're everywhere. The fruit shop shortchange me, a fucking jihad on them. Bump into someone and say, hey, you fucking jihad on you. How many jihads you got going now, Dad? Well, 24. God, it's difficult to keep up with them. I just don't think that's happening. But you can't do that in Church of England. You can't say, you must have tea and cake with a vicar or you die. You can't have extreme points of view. You know, the Spanish Inquisition wouldn't have worked with Church of England. Talk, will you talk? But it hurts. Well, loosen it up a bit, will you? That's what it would be. Tea and cake or death. Tea and cake or death. Tea and cake or death. Students with beer. Tea and cake or death. Tea and cake or death. Little red cookbook. Little red cookbook. You know, because cake or death, that's a pretty easy question. Anyone can answer that. Cake or death? Cake, please. Very well. Give him cake. Oh, thanks very much. Very nice. You, cake or death? Cake for me too, please. Very well. Give him cake too. We're gonna run out of cake at this rate. You, cake or death? Death, please. No, cake, sorry. You said death first. Death first. No, I meant cake. Oh, all right. You're lucky I'm Church of England. Cake or death? Cake, please. Well, we're out of cake. Well, we only had three bets and we didn't expect such a rush. So what do you want? Well, so my choice is or death? Well, I'll have the chicken then, please. Taste of humans, huh? Do you like a white wine? There we go. Thank you very much.